Now let's continue on. Right here in 2 Corinthians now, the 7th chapter in verse 1, because this tells us what we are to do, then we will look at other scriptures as how we can apply this. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Now then, beloved, since we have these promises, now consider all the promises of God, everything that he has given. He loves you, cares for you, watches over you, places his angels about you, has given you his spirit. He dwells within you. You are a part of God inasmuch as that you are connected with his spirit directly to the Father in Jesus Christ. We should purge ourselves. So we have to exercise ourselves to doing what is right. Now we saw in Romans the 6th chapter that we're not to yield ourselves. And we saw in Hebrews the 12th chapter that sin will come along and easily beset us. And we know we have to fight Satan the devil, and we know we have to fight the world, and we know we have to overcome the sin within and the self and all of that. So here's what we need to do. Purge ourselves of every defilement of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, how do we perfect holiness? All right, let's first come here to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Now, if we are perfecting these things, we're growing in grace and in knowledge. And it has to do also with our relationship with God on a daily basis, as we will see. All right. Now let's look at Christ, because he was our example. And he had to do greater than what we need to do because he was the Son of God. Now notice verse 7, speaking of Christ, Hebrews the 5th chapter, who in the days of his flesh offered up both prayers and supplications. That's what we need to do. Pray every day, study every day, work on special things with supplications and yielding to God, using the word of God, exercising those things within us. With strong cryings and tears, who was able to save him from death. So he likewise, because Jesus said, remember what he said? Of myself I can do nothing. So likewise, it is with us. That's why he is our example. And was heard in that he feared God. Although he was a son, yet learned he obedience from the things that he suffered. Now, what did this do to Jesus? What did this do to the perspective of God toward every one of us who are weak in the flesh? Because he in the flesh had to overcome the flesh, had to overcome Satan, had to overcome sin. He had to overcome the society. All of it. Now notice, having been perfected, he was made more perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Now then, we need to understand what we need to do. See, come down here to verse 12. For truly by this time you ought to be teachers, but instead you have some need of someone, that you need to have someone teach you what are the beginning principles of the oracles of God, and have become in need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who is partaking of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, because he is an infant. But solid food, strong spiritual meat, really understanding how we need to change and grow and overcome, put the word of God together the way that it should be. But solid food is for those who are fully grown, who through repeated practice have had their senses trained to discern between good and evil. Now, that's what we need to do, especially in this world, because there are a lot of things that appear good but are evil. And there are things that come into our minds that enter into them, though we don't want them, and they need to be purged out. And sometimes on a daily basis. Now let's see how we do that. Let's come to 1 John, the first chapter, and see how God works with us in changing, in growing, in overcoming, helping us over our sins, forgiving our sins, giving us strength to resist, and also giving us a clean conscience. First chapter, 1 John. And let's look at it this way. This is on a daily basis, day by day. Remember what it says, if you will hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. All right? Well, let's pick it up here in verse 6. Let's see the process that is given here. If we proclaim that we have fellowship with him, but we are walking in darkness, that's in the world, that's the way of sin, and that's the way of death. See, we have to walk in the light because Jesus is the light. The Word of God is the light. His Holy Spirit is the light. We are lying to ourselves and are not practicing the truth. There we go again. Practicing the truth, which is the Word of God, the love of God. Verse 17. However, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his own Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there has to be that repentance of sin coming before God, and God applies the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we are justified to God on a daily basis. Now notice, cleanses us from all sin. But let's see how much more it does cleanse us as well. If we say we have not sinned, we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, there it is right there. Because as we have seen, he's ready to forgive. He is ready to show mercy. He is ready to blot out our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and notice and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, every defilement of the flesh, every defilement of the spirit. And how can the spirit be defiled? By sinning. So all of it is cleansed and we grow and we change and we overcome. Now let's see how God also does this, and he does it for our good. We have trials, we have tests, we have correction. God is dealing with us as a father. Now let's come back here to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and let's read on from where we left off last time. Now, Hebrews 12, and let's pick it up in verse 4. You have not yet resisted to the point that is against sin, of losing blood in your struggle against sin. But we do have the spiritual turmoil, the emotional turmoil, and all of the things that go with overcoming sin. Now notice, and have you already forgotten the admonition that he addresses to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor grow weary of being reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he severely disciplines every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God is dealing with you as a father with his sons. For who is the son whom the father does not chasten? Then he says, now then, we've had fathers who chastened us. But God does it for our spiritual good. And let's see what the result of that is going to be. All right? Here is the operation that takes place. Let's come back to Romans, the 12th chapter, and let's see how conversion is within, how conversion is a spiritual thing, and how these things need to take place. And God gives us the tools. God gives us the ability. God gives us his word. Okay? Let's pick it up right here in verse 1. I exhort you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's our flesh, but we have the spirit. See? We're to overcome every defilement of the flesh and the spirit by exercising ourselves, as we will see, to using the Spirit of God, yielding to the love of God, and not yielding to sin. A living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not conform yourselves to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the power of the Holy Spirit, in order that you may prove what is well-pleasing and good and the perfect will of God. So we do this on a daily basis. We're to be renewed in our minds, transformed. That's what conversion is all about. Now then, how do we do this? And this is the whole lesson of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We put out the leaven, we bring in the unleavened. We eat unleavened bread, the way of God. Now, let's come here to Ephesians, just a few pages over. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And let's see how the Apostle Paul wrote that we need to overcome. And how what he's showing here is that the church is being built up on Jesus Christ, that the church is to be edified, that the church is to grow, and all of us are members of the church. We're part of the body of Christ. Okay? So let's see it here. Let's pick it up here in verse 12. He gives the whole purpose of the ministry right here. For the perfecting of the saints. Now that's what it's for. All of us. Every one of us. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now edify is to build up. And that's why Jesus was a carpenter. Because he built, just like with the church. Edifying of the body of Christ. Now notice, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now, that perfection is finalized at the resurrection. As long as we're in the flesh, and as long as we still have the law of sin and death in us, because that's what we still have within us, it is not removed from us until we die. Unto a perfect man. Notice how God wants it to be. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now then, he gives another lesson here. Going back to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, that we do not need to go back to being children who are unskilled in the word of truth, so that we no longer be children tossed and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in cunning craftiness, with a view to the systematizing of the error. And that's what they did. They systematized all of the traditions of men, relabeled them as Christian. And that's how we got the Christian world that we have today. Okay? But here's how we do it. But holding the truth in love, may in all things, everything, grow up into him who is the head, even Christ. That's why there is no companionship with the world. That's why there is no agreement with idols. That's why we are not to be unequally yoked to non-believers. Right there. Okay? Now notice, from whom all the body, all the brethren, near or far, assembled in fellowship groups, or scattered in alone, all around the world, from whom all the body, fitly framed and compacted together, by that which every joint supplies, we have something to give to the body of Christ, according to the inner workings, see, the transformation, the conversion, the Spirit of God, the cleansing, the healing, all of those things, okay, according to the inner working in the measure of each individual part, is making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now then, he says, we're not to go back and be like the Gentiles were and what they were doing. Come down here to verse 21, and this tells us what we need to be doing. Great instruction. Now, let's understand, this is every day, every day. Many times during the day, if necessary, you see. Verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him according to the truth in Jesus, that concerning your former conduct in the world, the way that you lived, the way that you thought, how your life was, put off the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that renewal is every day, every day, every day. That way we can be constant with God. We can be overcoming. We will be able to put away the sins of the flesh. We will be able to put away the temptations of the world. Now then, he gives several warnings here. See? According to the truth in Jesus, that concerning your former conduct, you put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, Christ, in you, the hope of glory, the mind of Christ, which according to God is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's what God is working with. That's how God is doing it, see? In us, every one of us. Therefore, now you see, since we are being perfected, that means what? We are not yet perfected. It is a process, all right? Now notice how that ties in with Ephesians, the second chapter, you see, and verse 10, we're being created. We're the workmanship of God. Over here it's saying the same thing. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man, which according to God is created in righteousness and the holiness of the truth. Therefore, let each one put away lies and speak truth with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. When you become angry, do not sin. Oh, don't let it get into anger and revenge and hatefulness, you see. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Never, ever, ever go to bed with anger and hostility and conflict. You need to get it resolved. Now, that'll help you sleep. Now notice, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Now you go back over what we covered in James, the first chapter, of how sin comes along, and it's a progression of things that we can get rid of and expel before we actually commit the sin. It is a temptation. So if we are doing that, we're not giving a place to the devil, see? But if we don't do that, we're giving him place. We're giving him a way to work. We're giving him a way to cause us problems and difficulties, see. Let the one who stole steal no more, Change your behavior. Change your thoughts. Change what you're doing. Let him labor with his hands, working at what is good, so that he may impart something to the one who has need. Do not let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good and needful for edifying, that it may give grace to those who hear. And that's how we need to do it. And let's understand something, brethren, here, very important, that all of us have been through various church wars. Those who were new, they were in church wars with the Christianity of the world. Those who have been in the church for a while, we've had church wars within by those who are trying to come in and subvert the truth and get rid of the way of righteousness and bring it into subjection to the satanic lies of Christianity of this world. And we've all had our difficulties and problems where then we have had our ups and downs in overcoming sin, right? Yes. Okay. Verse 30, do not grieve or vex the Holy Spirit. Don't frustrate it. How do you do that? You frustrate the Holy Spirit of God, which is leading you, when you allow sin to get a toehold in your mind. When you allow the thoughts of lust, the thoughts of carnality, the thoughts of disobedience, the thoughts of self-pity, the thoughts of hatred, and all of those things. That's why we're going to see what we need to do to replace all of that. That'll take the time. Okay? Here's where to start. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be removed from you, together with all malice. And be kind and tenderhearted toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God has also in Christ forgiven us. And keep that in mind. Now let's come to Colossians, the third chapter. And let's see that this chapter is one of the key most important things that we need to do. And then we'll come back to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. All right? Over a few pages to Colossians 3. Now, in the second chapter, he warns about how there were those who were trying to bring in the pagan philosophies. We've experienced that. We're living in the end time where that is really coming true to its fullest extent. But chapter 3 is very important in our spiritual growth, because we are to put off the old man, put in, which is being created in righteousness and the holiness of truth, the new man, which is godliness. We are to exercise ourselves to godliness. Now, here is how it is done. This chapter is the most important in growing and overcoming. Verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And what does it say there? Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God first. Okay? And then Matthew 5:48 says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You combine those two verses together, and all the rest of the New Testament is built upon that through Jesus Christ. Set your affections on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died through baptism. Your life is now Christ's. And your life has been hidden together with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is manifested, then you also shall be manifested with him in glory. So that's what we are looking to. But now, how do we get from here to there? All right, he tells us. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. There they are, all the sins of the flesh, sexual immorality, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, among whom you also walked when you were living in those things. See, what he's saying is this: it takes time to overcome. It takes time to have our minds cleansed. It takes time to build the godliness, the godly character. And the Spirit of God is there to help us. All right? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, among whom we also walked when you were living in these things. But now, at this time, as a Christian growing and overcoming, you should put off all these things. Put off or put out. It's like we're to put leaven out of our homes. And why does God use leaven as a type of sin during the days of unleavened bread? Because it's everywhere. It is so easy. And we can come to just take things for granted. And he doesn't want us to do it. Put off. So just like you put out leaven. Now the spiritual leaven is put off these things or put out these things. Okay? Wrath, indignation, malice, blasphemy, and foul language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man together with his deeds and have put on the new man. See, it's a process. Every day you put it out. Every day you put it on. And you come to God to cleanse your mind, to cleanse your heart, to help you with your thoughts, to help you with your emotions, to help you to grow in love, to grow in faith, to grow in truth. All of those things, see? Okay? Put on the new man who is being renewed in knowledge by the renewal of your mind, and be transformed, as Paul wrote in Romans 12, according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. All right, now that's what we are to put out. That's cleansing us from all defilement of the flesh and of the spirit. And then let God's spirit create in us by doing this. Verse 2. See, God wants our cooperation. Put on then, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, deep inner affections, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you should forgive. And that is very, very important, brethren. Among ourselves, we cannot have unforgiveness. Because you see, as Jesus said, if we don't forgive, then he's not going to forgive us. Likewise, the one who's the offender, if you don't repent, God will not forgive you either. So it works both ways. So during this Feast of Unleavened Bread, see if there's any unforgiveness within you toward any of the brethren, or toward your wife, or toward your husband, toward your children. Okay? Forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so also you should forgive. And above all these things, put on love. Now, what is love? Which is the bond of perfection. Now, bond is what brings and holds together. So we can say this: the love of God that comes from God to us, and our love of God back to God, and our love of God to the brethren, and our love of God in the way that we can grow and overcome is the glue, the spiritual glue, or the bond which holds everything together. And that's how we grow and overcome, you see. That is the key. That's why we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now let's go on from this. What happens when you do that? Then all your cares and all your worries are put on Christ. All of your sins and all of your iniquities and all of the evil thoughts that you have are wiped away through the sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ. Now what does this do? Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now this is what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful. Now how do you do that? Again, it is a spiritual exercise. It is that which is to develop godliness in us. Remember, Paul told Timothy, exercise yourself unto godliness. Okay? Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And in everything. Now notice, it means everything. In everything, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now that's what we are to do. Okay? Now, let's see what else we need to do. Now let's come back to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, because this focuses in on what's going on up here and the battle in our minds and hearts. That's why we need the Spirit of God. See, and God judges the heart. So let's see how we can maintain our hearts and our minds in a spiritual way while living in the world, so we can be growing and overcoming and cleansing ourselves through the Spirit of God from every defilement of the flesh and of the spirit. Now let's pick it up here in verse 3. For although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We can't use the human self-help to do good, to do better, to be successful. Those are still all fleshly, because even though they're based on some of the principles of God, it's not based upon using and exercising the Spirit of God, as true Christianity really is. Okay? Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God, to the overthrowing of strongholds. Now, strongholds are what? Those are those deep-rooted thoughts of our past life before baptism. The deep-rooted thoughts which caused us to sin greatly against God. And God in His mercy has called us. These strongholds can be vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, the works of the flesh, which we're to put aside. As the Apostle Paul has said, God gives us His Spirit, and what we have with our warfare is mighty. The mind can be changed. The experience of sin can be erased. Now we're to learn the lesson. Never forget the lesson. Just like David never forgot what he did with Bathsheba, though God wiped it clean. He learned a lesson. Same way with Paul in persecuting the church. But he had to use the Spirit of God to get the stronghold of the motivation that was within him when he was persecuting the church. So here's what you do. What are the strongholds? Casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you put those out, and you put in the Spirit of God, and do this, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Now, that's the process of conversion. That's the reason for the spiritual keeping of the feast of unleavened bread. Not just putting the leaven out of our homes, not by the letter of the law, but by the Spirit of God. Not by having a facade, an exterior that looks good and sounds good, but within we have hatred and jealousy and lust and greed and sexual immorality and all of those things in our minds. And the reason that it is difficult today more than at any other age, because we're bombarded with these things every day through television, through magazines, through just people in the world. It is there, and we need to be cleansed every day. Okay? Verse 6. And having a readiness to avenge all disobedience whenever your obedience has been fulfilled. So when you obey in the Spirit and you, as it were, take vengeance against the sin within. Now how do you do that? Let's come back here to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Let's see how this is done. We are to imitate God. Now, that's a real tall standard, isn't it? Well, does it not say we are to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect? We are to walk in the footsteps of Christ? We are to walk in the light of the Word? Yes, indeed. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. Even as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now notice what he says here in verse 3. And now we see the put-in of righteousness and the putting out of sin. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness do not permit it even to be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not becoming, but instead thanksgiving. For this you know, we know from what the Bible tells us, that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Do not let anyone deceive you with vain words. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be joint partakers with them. See, because as he says, we were once in darkness, but now we are in light. So let's come over here. Let's come over here to verse 24. And let's see what we need to do. For even as the church is subject to Christ, in the same way also let wives be subject to their husbands in everything. Now he's talking about the church and Christ. Husbands, love your wives in the same way that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. So here is the working and the operation of the Spirit of God that cleanses us from every defilement of the flesh and the spirit, that helps us to exercise ourselves unto godliness, so that he might sanctify it. Now, sanctify means to make it holy, having cleansed it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself as the glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might be holy and without blame. Now that's what we are to do, brethren. This is the reason for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And these are the spiritual lessons that we are to learn. So let's exercise ourselves to godliness. Let's yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. Let's actively put away sin, actively control our minds, and be transformed by the renewing of our minds with the Spirit of God. So have a wonderful rest of the feast, and we'll close for now. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.